Good morning.
Are we on now? Yes, we are. The notices for the coming week are as follows. On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the craft group will meet at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. On Saturday the 18th, the Western Reformed Union general meeting will be held at Jump on Zoom and on Zoom. Sunday the 19th of October, the Sunday service will be led by Stephen Eyre at 11 a.m. and the Worship Warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. If you remember last year, we did the Coventry City Mission Giving Tree. The project was able to help more families than ever before, giving presents to 1,589 disadvantaged children. And if you remember, when Darren came the other week, he said that they were worried about how they were going to cope because the numbers keep going up. If you'd like to help with this year's project, there is a notice in the vestibule and you'll find all the information on there, how to give and suggestions for presents. I have got the word for today that starts in November. They're at the back of the church in the vestibule on the table. I'm sorry I can't give them out personally because I don't know who has them. So just make yourself known to me, or there's some on the back of the table. I'd like to welcome Tony and Owenna again this morning. It seems like 5 minutes since you were here last time. It's lovely to have you back. But before they come up, Krista would like to come and say a couple of words.
Good morning, everyone. Stuart just mentioned the word for today. Well, I read it every night like some of you do. And quite a few weeks ago, a certain passage really touched my heart, and it has not left me. And I'm, you know, like some passages are more relevant than others to each and every one of us, but this one hasn't left me. And I go over it periodically, and because it's so beautiful, I thought you might want to have a little reminder of what it says. The scripture is from 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. And when we came in this morning, there was a notice up there as well saying, give thanks, you know, for the Lord is good. So the passage says, breathing is a complicated process. It requires a lot of precision, and the average person takes about 23,000 breaths a day. And while we are inclined to thank God for everything that takes our breath away, maybe we should also thank Him for all of our other breaths. In the year 2000, Pastor Ed Dobson was diagnosed with motor neuron disease, a degenerative disease with no known cause or cure. Sharing his ongoing struggle to be thankful while living with an incurable condition, Dobson writes, there are many things for which I am not grateful. I can no longer button my shirt. I can no longer put on a heavy jacket or raise my right hand above my head. I can no longer write or eat with my right hand. I eat with my left hand. And now even that is becoming a challenge. And over time, these challenges will get worse. So what in the world do I have to be grateful for? And his answer is, so much. Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning that I can still turn over in my bed. Thank you that I can still get out of bed, that I can walk to the bathroom, that I still can brush my teeth, that I can still eat breakfast, that I can still dress myself, that I can still drive my car, that I can still walk. Thank you that I can still talk. And the list goes on. And he has learned to focus on what he can do, not on what he can't do. I have learned to be grateful for the small things in life and for the many things I can still do. So what about you? What have you to be thankful for? And the chapter ends, give thanks in all circumstances. And so I made myself a list of what I have to be thankful for, and the list keeps on growing. It's quite a few things I can be thankful each day, and today I like to be thankful for each and every one of you, because you all have made me feel so welcome since God told me to come back to my roots where I started my journey with the Lord. So thank you for being so welcoming, not just to me, but to all of, for each other and for all of people who might want to join the church. And especially thank you for David and Helen for looking after each and every one of us in such marvelous way. Bless you all.
It's my turn to say good morning. Do you know, it's really interesting, is it, how God ties things together. And when COVID hit us, that was a really, really strange time. And I remember one day, I have my quiet time first thing in the morning in our little conservatory. It's such a quiet place. And I felt God said, challenged me about being thankful. And I made a covenant with God that morning, and I said, I'm going to start my day by being thankful, not with the same things. Give me eyes to see what there is to be thankful for. And there is so much. So God is good all the time. And all the time? Amen. Amen. So it's lovely to be here once again. Sorry, it's only 5 minutes since we were here before, but you'll see more of us next year as well. Sorry, I should apologise now. So let's just pray before we start. Lord, indeed, this morning, we just thank you for each other. Tony and I want to thank you for the welcome we always receive here. And it's a joy for us to come and share what you've been teaching us about in the days in between. Lord, you know all our circumstances. I'm reminded this morning that you're a God who knows every hair on each one of our heads. I find that mind-blowing, but he does. And he cares for us, and we're special to him. So, Lord, help us to put aside anything that could get in the way of our worshipping you this morning. Help us to be people who are able to hear what you're saying through the spoken word, through the songs we sing, through the prayers, and help us to be good receivers. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin by singing, as we are gathered, Jesus is here. And Lord Jesus, we welcome you into our midst this morning. So stand if you're able. We're going to sing this now. Please be seated. How do I know Jesus is here? I know because he promised in his word and he said, if two or three are gathered in my name, I will be with them. Well, we're far more than two or three. So that means Jesus is here and we welcome him today. I'm never sure whether we have children in our midst or not. And so I always bring something, and I'm a bit conflicted here. Shall I bring this? But I'm going to, because I feel God says somebody here needs to hear this. I have been privileged to discover some really interesting books, and I want to talk to you a little bit, first of all, about something that's called Crackpot Beauty. There is an old Chinese story that never fails to inspire people. There was once an old lady who had to take a long walk every day to fetch water from a nearby stream. She collected the water in two pots that were strung on either end of a long pole that she carried across her shoulders. Picture the scene. One of the pots had a small crack in it, but the other was just perfect. At the end of her daily walk, she always arrived home with just 1.5 pots of water, as the cracked pot had slowly dripped its contents on the way home. The handsome, perfect pot became very big-headed, thinking how wonderful he was, because more came out of his pot than the other one. After months and months of failing to return home with a full quota of water, the cracked pot finally spoke up. "I am so sorry. I don't know why you don't throw me out. I leak so badly that I only ever manage to bring home half the water." Then the old lady smiled. "Did you notice that there are flowers on your side of the path?" she said. "Not on the other." "That's because I have always known about your flaw. So I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day as we return home, you water them. For months I've been picking beautiful, fragrant flowers for our kitchen table. Without you being just the way you are, we wouldn't have this beauty to grace our home." And I want to remind you that however imperfect we are, God is willing to use us if we're willing to cooperate with him. I hope that blesses somebody here today who needs to know that they're special to God. Right, get myself organised. No children will be leaving today. I haven't missed anybody, have I? No. Well, Lord, bless them wherever they are, we pray, and bring them back to us. I'm going to share some things with you now that every time I come, well, when we go anyway, I spend time with God, and fortunately he only gives me one thing because I would get very confused. But it all started with, I overheard a conversation in a cafe. They weren't Christians, these people, I don't think. There was no indication. But one was saying, she was complaining about her inability to do this, that and the other. And then she said, but this is how I was made, so I'm not going to change, am I? And I felt I wanted to get up and go over and say, well, I know somebody who could change you. But I didn't. I went home and I pondered it. And I want to share with you the fact that God is someone who can change our character, however young or however old we are. We don't have to be saddled with the things that have affected us in the past and taken us down certain roads. So I wanted to share a few things with you. I know Tony's the preacher, but this is my bit, so I can do it, can't I? So, he shapes our character. And I've started by thinking that God says that man looks at on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Now, to be honest with you, I like to look good as I can, but there is a limit, isn't there? So we do what we can, but at the end of the day, it's not the most important thing, because God looks for other things in us as well, and he looks for humility. The fear of the Lord teaches us wisdom, and humility comes before honour. How many humble people do we meet, I wonder? You have to listen on in bus queues and on in supermarket queues, and I think sometimes people are so unkind, thinking, demanding their own rights. But God is looking for humility and the growth of it in us. He's also looking for people who will submit to him. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." God should come first. I remember sharing with somebody about, she was asking about Christian marriage. And she said, "Well, how does it work then?" I said, "Well, God comes first, Tony comes second, my son comes third." And she was appalled. She said, "God comes before your husband." I said, "It's no problem in our house because in reverse the same happens." So God wants us to submit to what he's doing in our lives in order to change us. He also wants us to trust him. And there's a lovely quote in the Psalms, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Think about that today when you've got a spare moment. If you delight yourself in God, he will give you the desires of your heart. And I shared one time when we came here that we prayed for our son for 27 years to come back to God. And my word, has he come back to God? Then God directs our paths. We've had a very interesting year with illnesses and difficulties getting appointments at hospitals and things like that. And I like to tell people, we've seen the Red Sea open for us in ways that we never imagined. I couldn't get help from the doctor, and I was desperate to get help for Tony. And I went and I said to the receptionist, who was not very helpful, "I need help for my husband." She shrugged her shoulders and she said, "Well, we haven't got a doctor available." She just didn't care. So I prayed about it. And the next morning, I'm part of a prayer triplet, which I would commend to you. It's a wonderful source of strength and support. And I was sharing with them, and one of them said to me, "You should take him to George Eliot Hospital." And the other one said, "I've got the car tomorrow, I'll take you." And we went. I phoned, first of all, and they said, bring him, love," this lady said. "We'll sort it out." And that's just what happened. And I know some people have hours to wait and it's hard, but God knew we needed help. And it arrived. And the nurses were just wonderful. I'll stop that story because I could take up the whole service. But God does direct our paths when we commit things to him. And to encourage you, I want to say to you that God has a plan for your life. He loves you too much to leave you where you are. He has, no matter what your age, he has plans for you. So I'm having to learn, just because I'm getting older, the plans change, but there are still plans. And it says in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you." So if you're feeling that that's not your case today, go to God and tell him, "I need to know that you have plans to prosper me." And he opens doors for us. That's what I talked about in the hospital. If you stop and think of things that have happened and suddenly there's a solution and you never expected it. As we were listening to being thankful, ask God for eyes to see what he's doing, which is what I've been doing just recently. And the other thing is that if we do these things, if we submit to God, if we choose to be humble, if we trust him, allow him to direct our paths, then he says that he will greatly bless us. And I want to read this to you from Jeremiah. And it says, "Blessed is the one," that's you and me, "who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out shoots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Because we belong to God, that's what he promises us. So I pray today that out of this you might gain some encouragement. Maybe you have been challenged by some of it. Go to God and see what he has to say to you about it. We're going to worship him, this God, now as we've chosen some songs. And today is a milestone, because usually I send Dave songs and he says, we don't know that one, can we do this one instead? But he didn't have to do that this time, so it's very amazing, really. So the first one is, cause me to come. You know, God is willing to do all these things for you, but you have to be willing to come and ask him for his help. Oh, is it? Sorry. Well, it doesn't matter. Okay. Oh, we'll start with the crowning with many crowns. We'll start with that one. Crowning with many crowns. I love this hymn. I love this. Is that one the first?
Yeah.
I love this one because it gives God his rightful place and it sets my heart in the right place to worship. So, crowning with many crowns.
Oh,
going to say cause me to come. Sorry, you can't sit down yet. This is me, remember. I love to sing. As I was saying earlier, you know, we can struggle through life, and sometimes we do struggle. And I have this picture of God saying, why don't you just come to me and talk to me about it? And sometimes in desperation is the last thing we do. He wants to encourage us to come. So by his Spirit, he enables us to come, and he's able to meet our need. Maybe not in the way we ask, but he will answer. So, cause me to come. I love this song. It's really special. Cause me to come. And when we come and we drink, Jesus says to us, for the joys and for the sorrows, you have me. Isn't that wonderful? We never have to do it on our own. So the third one I've chosen today is for the joys and for the sorrows. This, we have Jesus.
Thank you.
whatever this week brings, whatever challenges we have to overcome, you say to each one of us, don't worry, you have me. And I pray, Lord, that every single person in this room in the coming week will begin their day by thinking about that song. It just about covers everything. And Lord, I pray that you will teach us to be people who overflow with thankfulness and hope. You're able to do that by the power of your Spirit, and we ask that you will. Amen. Tony's going to come now and speak to us. Okay? I'll just pray for him as he comes. Lord, thank you for the time that Tony has spent in your presence, investigating your word and what you want to say to us this morning. I've said a lot, Lord, but I pray that we will still have open ears to hear what you have to say. And we ask that you'll anoint this word this morning so it might be really special to the hearts of every person in this room. For the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Winna. You have said a lot this morning, but what you haven't said is it's time for the offering.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Spoken this morning of the things that you give to us and the ways in which you bless us and the things we have to be thankful for, and that this is a token, these gifts here, this money, it's just a token of our gratitude, for we could never repay, we could only express our thanks and bless your name. Amen.
Yes, it is good to be back with you. I was thinking only I think it was yesterday, where we went to George Eliot Hospital and I parked in the road, Heath End Road, and there's a church along there that we used to go to. So they then got a minister and they no longer wanted us. A church over in Canley we used to go to. And they've got a new guy in charge, so they no longer wanted us. There's another church in Coventry that did have me down to preach, and I was ill and told them I couldn't make it, and they never asked me again. And Meredith Road Baptist Church, which we attend now, has a new minister, and they're not inviting me to preach. But I'm pleased to say that we've got invitations to come here, stretching into the new year, and that blesses us. I want to read this morning from Ephesians, and it will be on the screen. It's a fairly long reading, but in one sense, I could read this, stop, and that would be a sermon in itself. But you'll get a sermon as well. Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 32. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Fairly long one. And as I said, if we all went away with just those verses, we would have had a sermon in itself. Referencing those readings about the heart. And it's out of the heart that these things come. So we must learn to take good care of our heart. So that's the title of my message this morning. Take good care of your heart. Ezekiel is a book that I guess not many of us read every week, if at all. But he has some interesting things to say about the heart. Ezekiel 11 verse 19, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove them from their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. And there again, speaking the words of God, Ezekiel 18, verse 31, rid yourself of all the offences you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. And Ezekiel 36, 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. A new heart. God thought of a new heart long before heart transplants started last century. If you're like me, I like to have something new every now and then. I used to do a lot of drawing and artwork, and I'd get a lovely clean sheet of paper or a drawing pad and start, and I'd make a mistake. And I was so wasteful, tear it off, because I wanted it new. I wanted to start afresh. And that's what God wants with us. When we have something new, we tend to look after it for a while. If we have a new car, we make sure we look after it. It's been said that if you see a man opening the door of his car for a woman, it's either a new car or a new woman. We must take care of our new heart and keep on taking care of it, because we can become careless. And that was what Paul was hinting at in writing to the Ephesians. You better take care. That's what the Gentiles are like, and that's what you were like. This is what you should be. Don't slip back. Don't backslide. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, for it is the wellspring of your life. In the Amplified Version, it says this, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow springs of life. And Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So it says we can have two different kinds of heart, a heart of stone or a heart of flesh, a heart for good or a heart for evil. And there are, in a sense, poisons which can cause serious heart disease. And reflect on the word disease, dis-ease. And sometimes we feel dis-ease or ill at ease in our hearts. We need to be aware of that. And because of the overflow that the scripture speaks of, the overflow of the heart speaks through the mouth. And we can hurt our brothers and sisters if we have some of this poison in. We need to get rid of it. What are these poisons that can cause heart disease? We read a few in Ephesians. Indulgence, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, and unforgiving spirit. They're all poisons that can attack our heart. Now, we know these things in our heads, and we certainly know when we see it in other people. Do we acknowledge when we find it in our own heart? Because it needs to be dealt with. I know there are times when we are deeply affected by something and we try to take over what God's prerogative is. We try to justify ourselves. We say that God alone justifies us, makes us just as if I'd never sinned. But sometimes when we're poisoned, sometimes when something's wrong in our hearts, we try to excuse ourselves. Justify our thinking, justify our actions. But that justification can only come from God. The word of God applies to us whenever and whatever the circumstances. And one preacher said something that really struck with me. He said, we do not adjust scripture to fit our situation. We change our situation to fit with scripture. That's the way around it should be. Anyway, that is all the negative stuff about taking care of our hearts. Let's move on to some positive stuff. Let's look at caring for our new heart. What would the doctor say? Don't carry too much weight. Eat the right food. Get plenty of exercise. That's what the doctors would tell us, wouldn't it? So first of all, don't carry too much weight. And some of us seem to carry the weight of the world. And always have this picture of even believers going round with their heads down, their shoulders sagging, because they're carrying a weight that shouldn't be there. And I think I may have said last time that if you're going down round with your head down, the crown that is yours is going to fall off. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Paul said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So don't carry heavy weights. Jesus said, come to me. All who are weary and carrying unnecessary weight, and I will give you rest. Now the Message paraphrase of that has this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly without that burden. There's an illustration of a man with a horse and cart going along the road. And he sees a man shuffling along the road with a heavy burden, carrying this heavy burden. So he pulls the horse up, but he says, "Brother, get on board, let me take you." So he gets on the cart, and they start to move off, and the driver of the horse looks and he said, "Brother, put your burden down." He was still carrying it. And the guy says, "No, it's good enough that you carry me without having to carry my burden." It makes it a nonsense, doesn't it? And perhaps we do that sometimes. Jesus is carrying us and our burdens, so let's put our burdens down. Don't carry too much weight, says the doctor. Next, eat the right food. I have to be careful what I say here because Owenna keeps telling me I'm not doing that. I suffer from diabetes, and you know, I was told when that was diagnosed, basically, you've got to eat all the stuff that you don't like and don't eat all the stuff you do like. That's what he said to me in simple terms. Oh, that's how I received it anyway. And so when we come here and we have coffee or tea afterwards, you put lovely biscuits out, and it's very tempting. Yield not to temptation. Yes, I'm tempted all the time. On the internet or in the papers, anywhere, nowadays we're told that the experts say we should eat this or that. The right diet will do wonders for you. Sign here. And we know, don't we, that Scripture says we shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And several places in Scripture, it emphasizes this, the Word of God, taking it in as if it's food. In Psalm 119, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And Jeremiah 15, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight." And Paul to the Philippians, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Take them on board." So eat the right things, and the Word of God provides us with, as Chris mentioned earlier, daily bread. Daily bread. The Word of God is our daily bread. Well, moving on then to our next principle. Get plenty of exercise. One person might say, "Well, I get plenty of exercise. I walk away from difficult situations. I hit people over the head with Scripture. I run people down. I jump to conclusions." But seriously, we need to be doing those things which keep the heart healthy. Pondering that list that Paul gave to the Philippians and soaking up those good things into our thoughts, behavior, and actions. Those are the things that will keep our hearts healthy. And what's the one, the first perhaps of the things we think about in relation to our heart? It's love, isn't it? That's what keeps the heart healthy. Exercising love. Focusing not upon ourselves, but on others. Doing things not just for ourselves, but for others. And we know those lovely words, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. and if our hearts were full of that kind of agape love, how we would be blessed and be a blessing. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, in Christ, God forgave you. So, we begin to close. Keep your heart healthy in these ways, and your wellspring will bless others. What flows up from the heart and out through the mouth is going to bless the lives of others. There's a lovely verse that I came across recently that blessed me, and it was one of the little lesser known letters in the New Testament, the letter to Philemon. And it said this: "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." Isn't that lovely? Would you like someone to say that of you? Your life, you've refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Do you do that? There used to be a sweet, didn't where there's so many, called Refreshers. Yeah, be a refresher. I don't know whether you remember this illustration from a message I gave some while ago. The picture in a newspaper many years ago of one woman hugging another. And the caption was, "A Macmillan nurse doing heart surgery." We conclude with a prayer, part of Psalm 139. And this is a bit like God's stethoscope, like a doctor's checkup, that we ask, "Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." All of this is not just for our benefit. If our hearts are not healthy, we may be hurting or poisoning others. And as I'm sure I said at the last message, when people are in need of a touch from God, he more than often wants to use us to do it. Be open to that. Stay healthy. Take good care of your heart. Amen.
Let's just take a quiet minute before we sing our last song. And in God's presence, let's ask him, is there anything, Lord, you want to say to each one of us today about the condition of our hearts? Lord, as we sit in your presence and open our minds and our hearts to you, we pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to see what you're saying to us today, because you want us day by day to become more like Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that as we conclude this service in a few minutes, as we spend time together over drinks and biscuits, help us to share with one another those things that you've been saying. Help us to go home and ask that you might help us to put them into practice, because we want to be people who bless the lives of others from the overflow of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In a moment, we're going to sing our final song. But as we come into that, I just want to acknowledge that this has been a difficult time in this church for the Porter family. And we had the privilege of praying last time we came. And God has answered in a way that perhaps we didn't want. But thank you, Lord, that we know that Lynn is with you. And I want to encourage the family, because James Porter was one of my boys. I had the privilege of having a pastoral job at Bluecoat School. And James was one of a number of boys who helped me with assemblies and all kinds of things. And he and the family will need your loving care in the days to come. And I want to encourage them and you. They couldn't be in a more loving family. So ask God to give you eyes to see what it is you could do for them in order to bless their lives. And we're going to conclude now with, Hallelujah, my Father, for giving us your Son. You know, God doesn't just call us to himself and say, get on with it. He gives us the power of his Spirit to equip us to do it. So be encouraged, be blessed, as we sing, Hallelujah, my Father, for giving us your Son. And I want to say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. I also want to say, when you go home and somebody says, where have you been, church? Was it good? Well, it was different. And then I was reminded that it wasn't perfect, but it doesn't matter to God. So it doesn't matter. He still loves you, Dave, even though you got me wrong. And he says the same to me. Isn't it wonderful that God never turns his back on us if we're not perfect? Because we're definitely not. So the Lord bless you. Thank you.